Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about stay in the race, stay in the battle. As I said before, many Christians are discouraged. There's a great deal of persecution going on in this country, and even the media is attacking on a daily basis Christians. The media is attacking those who have a stand for righteousness or have taken up a stand for righteousness. I saw a fake news entry on Facebook the other day where the state of California had declared the Bible to be an assault weapon, and so they banned the Bible, the assault weapon, in the state of California. Well, of course, it was all in jest, and that was just fake news, but it isn't that far away, beloved, when Christians in America are going to be severely persecuted. And so you're going to be persecuted for your faith, you're going to be tested, you're going to be tried, and so there's going to be a need for endurance, there's going to be a need for perseverance, there's going to be a need for the understanding that as believers, we're going to be persecuted, and it's going to be times when you're going to be persecuted even by people within the church. If you get excited for the Lord and you really want to carry the mission of God forward here on this earth, you may even come under persecution by people in the church who don't feel your passion, they don't feel your zeal, they don't feel your heart for the Lord. And so many times our greatest battles are even people that are believers and claim to know God, and yet they want to hinder the move of God. The devil uses them to hinder the move of God here in America. And so I want to give you an encouragement today. I have several points to consider. All of these teachings are from the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, and Paul is a good one to teach on staying in the battle, staying in the race. He suffered greatly. We'll talk about that here in just a minute, but he suffered immensely for the kingdom of God. He suffered personally. He suffered from his teaching, from his family, from his background. He suffered because he was at one time a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a member of the elite of the Jewish intellect, and so he suffered because of that. And so we have a lot of teaching by Paul here in the letters that he wrote to the churches. Well, in 1 Corinthians 9, in verse 24, Paul says, "We are all in a race, and do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but only one or one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may attain it." And so Paul gives encouragement here. We're all in a race, just like in these marathon races. There may be thousands of runners lined up at the starting line. There may be thousands that have a hope or an aspiration to win, and yet only one is going to win that prize. Only one is going to take home the wreath or the trophy or whatever prize they're giving, and the rest fall away. Some don't finish. Some finish minutes and hours behind the winner, and some are right up there near the winner, but they don't win the prize. And so Paul is saying, stay in the battle, stay in the race, and run as if you are the one that is going to win. Now again, we can't all win in the allegory of the marathon. We don't all win, but we can run as if we're going to win. We can run as if we're going to finish strong, and that's what God calls us to do. Beloved, if you were told when you became a Christian, if you were told that it is somehow an easy walk as a Christian, that because you're now a saved believer and because now you know Jesus Christ, that everything is going to be peaches and cream in your life, everything is going to be a bowl of cherries, and nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, as the end day draws near, as we spiral closer to the end of all days and the second coming of Jesus Christ, we are going to suffer more persecution. Christians are going to have a more difficult time. The great thing is, the wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are here with us. The Holy Spirit is with you as you walk, and so you have someone to share the burden with. You have someone to counsel you, to guide you, someone to lead you to the truth in all things so that you can avoid the traps and the pitfalls that the enemy sets for us. And so when you are a believer, even though you may have struggles, you may have trials, just think, if you did not have the Holy Spirit with you to counsel you, to walk with you, if you did not have the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and to be your advocate in every situation, just think what a mess it would be. Just think what a problem it would be. Just think how discouraged you would get if you were in that situation. And there's many people out there in that situation this very day. They struggle because they don't know Jesus. They don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. They don't have the Holy Spirit to counsel them. And so if that describes you today, if you're listening today, and you feel like life is just too overwhelming for you and you cannot cope with it, you even have thoughts of suicide, you have thoughts of ending your life because you just can't cope with it, you're in despair, you're burdened down with the struggles and the fight of life, beloved, the hope for you is the hope in Jesus Christ, the hope that does not disappoint. That hope will give you hope that you can make it another day, you can make it another year, you can make it to the end of the race. And so if you need to come to Jesus, this is the time to do it. This is the perfect time. There's some of you listening to me today that you don't know Jesus, you've never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. I invite you to invite Him into your life today. And then when you invite Him into your life, you have the Holy Spirit to counsel you. You have to repent of your sins. You have to acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you need Jesus. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good thing is, the free gift of God is given to you. As you confess Jesus as your Lord, the free gift of God is given to you, and you can then know that Jesus is with you, the Holy Spirit is with you, and as you move forward in your Christian walk, as you move forward in your study of God's Word and your fellowship with the saints, you will be strengthened to be able to finish the race. Well, you need to discipline yourself. That's the second point Paul makes in verse 25 of chapter 9, 1 Corinthians. He says, everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, or he is self-disciplined, or he disciplines himself. You're temperate. You're self-controlled. You can control yourself. You control your emotions. You control your anger. You control these things, and you temper yourself just like a piece of steel is tempered so it doesn't break. Now they do it, Paul says, to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. We're competing not for earthly treasures. And that's one of the problems in America, this great nation. We have so much abundance. We have so much in the way of material wealth that we can compete not for the material things, but we can compete for the imperishable crown, which is that crown that is given to us by Jesus Christ, that crown that we receive at His second coming, or that crown that we receive when we go into heaven and we are rewarded for the works that we do, those crowns of glory, the crowns of righteousness, the crown given at His second appearing. Those are the things that we treasure. Those are the crowns that we value. And I know that nice cars are nice. I've driven nice cars. I've lived in nice houses. I have an abundance of material things, just like most of you all do. And yet, those things, ultimately, they do not satisfy us. Those things ultimately are not the things that give us deep fulfillment. What fulfills us as believers is our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, if you're not walking with the Lord Jesus, and if you're not seeking to know Him and have a knowledge of Jesus Christ in a deeper way every day, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be satisfied. The Bible says that blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. If you want to be filled in this life, you have to seek the Lord Jesus. Your personal walk with Him has to be fulfilling for you. It's not about ministry. It's not about the victories that you had in your life 5 years ago, or the youth conference you went to 10 years ago, or the great concert that you went to 5 years ago. You today have to be fulfilled and filled by the Word of God, by your relationship and your walk with the Lord. That is what will fill you. That is what will satisfy you. And that is your crown that you're receiving, not just at the end of your life, although that's the greatest reward when we're all standing face to face with Jesus, but also you receive that crown each and every day as you pursue God and as you run the race and as you engage the enemy for the kingdom of God. God gives out his rewards each and every day. Just the presence of God in your life, just your relationship with him ultimately is what must fill you and what must satisfy you and what must ultimately be your crowning glory. And so Paul says, those in the natural race, those in the earthly race, they run for a perishable crown, a wreath, or a gold medal, something such as that. But we run for an imperishable crown. Verse 26, therefore, I run thus not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. So Paul knows what he's doing. Beloved, I ask you today, do you know what you're doing? Do you know what your purpose here on this earth is? Do you know why God created you? That is the race that he wants you to run. Many people, they spend their whole life wandering around out in the wilderness area. After a while, they get very depressed, just like the Israelites did out there in the wilderness area. They fall into sin, they fall away, they backslide, and after a while, they don't even know why they're here on this earth. They're just in the rat race. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses, and they don't even know the Joneses. They're trying to buy every new gadget that comes out, every new electronic device that comes out, and so they are consumed with the consumer lifestyle. They're consumed with materialism, and they don't really know what their purpose here on this earth is, what their highest calling here on this earth is. And so Paul says, I don't run with uncertainty. Paul knew why God created him. After Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he knew why God created him and why he had spent his years studying the scriptures of the Old Testament. He knew then that God was going to use him to bring the Gentile nations to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul was certain about his destiny. He was certain about his calling. He was certain when he got up every day, he knew why he was living. And I ask you today, beloved, do you know why you're living? Do you know what your calling and your destiny is? If you do not, you need to spend time with the Lord. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of man to search it out. Your job, whether you're a teacher, an electrician, a farmer, somebody who is incarcerated, or whoever you are, your job and your job one is to find out why God created you, to search out the reason that he put you here on this earth. And when you find that out, beloved, when you find that out, you're going to be in pursuit of something then that will give you great boldness, great confidence, and you don't have to wonder from day to day, am I doing the right thing? When God gave me a dream in 2009, he showed me I was standing on a platform in Africa preaching the gospel. I had my Bible in my right hand and a big bag in my left hand that was filled with maize corn, and it had written on the front of the bag Revelation 22. So God showed me I was going to be preaching in Africa. He gave me the message. He gave me the provision. Behind me was a big grain silo filled with 2,000 bushel of grain, of maize corn, big ears of maize, and out in front of me was thousands of African people receiving the message of the gospel, receiving the good news of the gospel. And so from that day forward, when I booked my first plane ticket to Africa, I knew that I was in the perfect will of God. I knew I was doing what God wanted me to do, and even though many people took jabs at me and many people took offense to what I was doing and tried to talk me out of it and tried to scare me and speak fear over my life. I knew exactly this is what God wanted me to do. I had no doubt. I was completely certain and confident about it. And so when I ended up in Africa, I knew that was the place that God wanted me to be. And this was the path and this was the race that God wanted me to run. And so Paul says that I run not with uncertainty, and thus I fight not as one who beats the air. Well, you've seen these boxers who practice by just shadow boxing, or they beat a punching bag or a little bag hanging from the ceiling. And Paul says, I fight. I know who the enemy is, and I'm not just beating the air. I'm not just out there lashing out at some imaginary foe. I know who the enemy is, and Paul says, when I go into battle, I'm going in against that enemy, and I'm going to defeat that enemy. I'm going to win that race. I'm going to win that prize. And then he says in verse 27, I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so Paul disciplines himself. He prepares himself by study. He prepares his body by not dissipating. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He doesn't carouse around. He's focused on studying the word. He's focused on the next day's job. When he gets up in the morning, he's focused on today's goal, the things that he needs to accomplish. And so we need to discipline ourselves as well. We need to discipline ourselves and stay in the race and be prepared to take on the enemy and buffet ourselves. Paul says, I buffet myself or discipline myself so that I am in shape to take on the enemy. Well, the third point I want to make is that we all must suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ. You know, when a soldier goes to battle, many, many times he engages the enemy. He suffers hardship. He sometimes misses meals. He sometimes has to sleep out in the cold. He sometimes has to go without sleep and walk all night or be in a formation that's moving in the night. And so there's a lot of discomfort. There's a lot of hardship in being a soldier for the army. And so it is when we're a soldier for the army of Christ, there's a lot of hardship. You're not necessarily going to have things your way. And sometimes even in the battle, people don't come back from the battle. Sometimes there is so much hardship that people succumb to it, or the enemy takes them out. And so it is in the battle with Christ. Sometimes missionaries don't come back from the field, or sometimes we have to lose sleep or lose food or suffer great hardship in being a good soldier of Christ. And so this is what Paul is saying about this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. He says, the things that were gained to me, he's talking about in his natural life before he became a soldier for Jesus. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for Jesus Christ. Yet indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And so Paul says, I had to give up everything to follow Jesus. And beloved, if you really want to follow Jesus, there's some things you're going to have to give up. You're going to have to give up some of your hobbies. You're going to have to give up some of the time that you spend in front of the TV. You may have to spend less time watching football games or watching some programs that you like. You may have to spend less time in front of the internet and just trolling through Facebook. You're going to have to give up something in order to move forward in the kingdom. If you want to spend time with Jesus, you're going to have to spend time with him in prayer. You're going to have to spend time with him in Bible study. You're going to have to spend time in the fellowship. But Paul says, I suffered the loss of all things in my past life. Everything that Paul had accomplished as a great scholar, a great Jewish scholar, everything that he had accomplished, he had to give it up and so that he could gain Christ. And so in Philippians 3:9, he says, I have been found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Well, many of us, we try to be good people, and so we try to obtain righteousness by keeping the law, and we say, well, I'm a good person, therefore I'm a very righteous person. I don't steal, I don't murder, I don't rape, I don't do these things, and so therefore I'm a good person, and so therefore I must be in God's favor, I must be a righteous favor according to God. Well, beloved, keeping the law, whether it was in Paul's day or this day, will gain you nothing. Keeping the law is not the way you come to know God. You come to know God by confessing your sins, by repenting of your sins. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is God's grace that saves us. Jesus looks down on us, and he has already shed the blood as a sacrifice for our sins. And when we accept that blood sacrifice and accept the fact that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, then we no longer carry that burden of our sin. It has been nailed to the cross. It has been covered by the blood of Jesus. And so the righteousness that we have now, it comes from God by faith, and it is not righteousness of our own. We are as filthy rags when we stand before God. We are filthy when we stand before God. Were it not for the righteousness of Jesus, we would have no standing before God. And so Paul says, I gave up everything, I lost everything, that I could come to know Christ, that I could gain Jesus Christ in my life. In verse 11, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Well, beloved, we sometimes have to suffer in knowing Jesus Christ. I can't tell you all the things that I've suffered over in Africa. Some of you would be shocked if I told you all the things that I've suffered in my years of preaching and my years of travel over there. Some of the things I don't tell anybody, they're a bit too shocking, but God has rewarded me, he has protected me, he has defended me, and the ultimate goal of reaching the lost with the good news of the gospel, that is the prize that I attained to, that is the prize, but I have also attained to, not by my own wanting it, not by my own desire for it, but I've also attained to the fellowship of Jesus Christ through suffering. There are times when I've gone through suffering and I have had to give it up things, not just material things, but I've also been sick. I've also been in motorcycle wrecks. I've had motorcycles hit me. I've had lots of sickness and different types of things that have beset me in the years that I've preached over there in Africa. And so when you step out for Jesus, you're going to suffer in the battle. You're going to suffer in the race, just like the people in the marathon. They suffer. You know, some of them seize up with cramps, and some of them get so tired they can't even go on. They have to drop out, and they can't make it even another mile. And so there are times when you're going to suffer in your walk with the Lord. But, beloved, Jesus is there with you. He will sustain you. There are times when he will carry you when you can't even carry yourself. And so you will know the fellowship of his sufferings and the fellowship of walking with the Lord Jesus in the race that you are called to run. Well, beloved, we're going to continue this message next week, the finishing of the race, and there's two or three more points that I want to make in this message, so tune in next week. Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we appreciate those of you who have come alongside this ministry and supported it in the years past but we need to hear from you. We need to know that you appreciate these messages, that these messages are making a difference in your life, and that you appreciate the worship music that comes after these messages. Drop me a line, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, and let me know that you're listening. Put a check in the mail for us so that we can continue these broadcasts and pay for this radio airtime. We enjoy bringing these messages to you, but they cost us, and they cost to keep them coming each and every week. And so when we give the message of the gospel, it's God's will that the messengers be paid, the messengers receive from the body of Christ to keep the messages coming. The teachers are worthy of their pay. They're worthy of their wages. And so we appreciate those of you who have come alongside, and we invite each and every one of you not only to support the radio broadcast, but also to support the mission in Africa and to make a contribution to see the gospel preached in Africa this year, the years ahead. So God bless you. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week.